and that time is the end of this world, and the beginning of the world to come. Therefore, while this world stands, a true theocracy can never be ended again. Consequently, from the death of Christ till the end of this world, every theory of an earthly theocracy is a false theory. Every pretension to it is a false pretension. And wherever any such theory is proposed or advocated, whether in Rome in the 4th century, or here in the 19th century, it bears in it all that the papacy is or that it ever pretended to be. It puts a man in the place of God. Now I will read another statement as to the purpose of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. It is from the annual address of the President of the National Union, at the Nashville Convention, 1887. It is as follows. Quote, "The Woman's Christian Temperance Union, local, state, national, and worldwide, has one vital, organic thought, one all-absorbing purpose, one undying enthusiasm, and that is that Christ shall be this world's king."
Shall be
this world's king.
But you are a clergyman, and you read the Bible to us.
I am going to read a passage presently, right on this point.
Is it not in the same Bible that the time when Christ is to be the king is the present?
I am going to read a passage from the Bible in connection with this subject. Allow me to finish this extract. Quote, "The Woman's Christian Temperance Union, local, state, national, and worldwide, has one vital, organic thought, one all-absorbing purpose, one undying enthusiasm, and that is that Christ shall be this world's king. Yea, verily, this world's king in its realm of cause and effect, king of its courts, its camps, its commerce, king of its colleges and cloisters, king of its customs and constitutions. The kingdom of Christ must enter the realm of law through the gateway of politics." End quote. That emphasizes this world's king. Jesus Christ himself said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Then assuredly the Woman's Christian Temperance Union stands against the words of Jesus Christ, in saying that he shall be this world's king, and that that kingdom is to enter the realm of the law through the gateway of politics. Jesus Christ has his entrance through the gateway of the gospel, and not through politics. Nor did this purpose end with the Nashville National Woman's Christian Temperance Union Convention. The proposition was repeated by the New York National Convention last summer, in the following resolution, quote, "Resolved, that Christ and his gospel, as universal king and code, should be sovereign in our government and political affairs." End quote. Well, let us apply the resolution. Suppose the gospel were adopted as the code of this government. It is the duty of every court to act in accordance with the code. There is a statute in that code which says, quote, "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." End quote. Suppose then a man steals a horse. He is arrested, tried, and found guilty. He says, "I repent." "Thou shalt forgive him," says the code, and the government must conform to the code. He is released, and repeats the act. Is again arrested and found guilty. He says, "I repent." "Thou shalt forgive him," says the code. And if he repeats the offense 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turns to the court, saying, "I repent," the government must forgive him. For so says that which the Woman's Christian Temperance Union has resolved should be the governmental code. Any such system as that would destroy civil government in 24 hours. This is not saying anything against the Bible, nor against its principles. It is only illustrating the absurd perversion of its principles by these people who want to establish a system of religious legislation here. God's government is moral, and he has made provision for maintaining his government with the forgiveness of transgression. But he has made no such provision for civil government. No such provision can be made, and civil government be maintained. The Bible reveals God's method of saving those who sin against his moral government. Civil government is man's method of preserving order, and has nothing to do with sin, nor the salvation of sinners. If civil government arrests a thief or a murderer and finds him guilty, the penalty must be executed, though the Lord does forgive him. The theocratical theory referred to seems to pervade the whole body. For the 8th District of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union, at Augusta, Wisconsin, October 2nd through the 4th, 1888, representing 15 counties, passed this resolution, quote, whereas God would have all men honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And whereas the civil law which Christ gave from Sinai is the only perfect law, and the only law that will secure the rights of all classes. Therefore resolved, that civil government should recognize Christ as the moral governor, and his law as the standard of legislation. End quote. The law which Christ gave from Sinai is not a civil law. It is the moral law. But if that be a civil law, and this a civil government, what in the world does a civil government want with a moral governor? These excellent women should be informed that civil government is based upon civil law, and has civil governors only. Moral government is founded in moral law, and has a moral governor only. Any governmental theory that confounds these is a theocratical theory, which is precisely the governmental theory of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union, as is demonstrated by these proofs. And any theocratical theory of government since Christ died is the theory of the papacy. These extracts prove that the purpose of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union is the establishment of a practical theocracy. Please do not misunderstand me here. There are none who have more respect or more good wishes for the Woman's Christian Temperance Union in the line of its legitimate work than have we. We are heartily in favor of union, of temperance union, of Christian Temperance Union, and of Woman's Christian Temperance Union. But we are not in favor of any kind of political Christian temperance union, nor of a theocratical temperance union. We sincerely wish that the Woman's Christian Temperance Union would stick to its text, and work for Christian temperance by Christian means, and not for Christian temperance by political means, nor for political temperance by theocratical means. I believe in Christian temperance. Not only do I believe in it, but I practice it. I practice Christian temperance more strictly than the Woman's Christian Temperance Union even preaches it. But believing in it as thoroughly as I do, and endeavoring to practice it as strictly as I believe in it, I would never lift my hand nor open my lips in any effort to compel men to practice the Christian temperance in which I believe and which I practice. Christianity persuades men, instead of trying to compel them. By the purity and love of Christ, Christianity draws men instead of trying to drive them. It is not by the power of civil government, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christianity secures the obedience of men and the practice of Christian temperance. The establishment of a theocracy is the aim of the prime movers in this Sunday law movement, as it was also the aim of the church leaders of the 4th century. And what came of that movement at that time? I read again. Quote, this theocratical theory was already the prevailing one in the time of Constantine, and the bishops voluntarily made themselves dependent on him by their disputes, and by their determination to make use of the power of the state for the furtherance of their aims. End quote. Neander, page 132. This being their theory which resulted in the determination to make use of the power of the state for the furtherance of their aims, the question arises, what means did they employ to secure control of this power? The answer is, they did it by means of Sunday laws. The first and greatest aim of the political church managers of the time was the exaltation of themselves. And second only to that was the exaltation of Sunday. These two things had been the principal aim of the bishops of Rome for more than 100 years, when Constantine gave them a chance to make their schemes effectual by the power of the state. The arrogant pretensions of the Bishop of Rome to secure power over the whole church was first asserted in behalf of Sunday by Victor, who was Bishop of Rome from AD 193 to 202.